One time ago, the craziest dream came to me. I dreamt I was walking in World War III. I went to the doctor.
You'll likely know that voice is musician Bob Dylan. What you may not know from this previously unreleased recording, courtesy of the New England Folk Music Archives, is that Dylan got his start in a small Cambridge coffee house called Club 47. A new film being screened tonight at the Boston International Film Festival tells the story of how that small club on Mount Auburn Street sparked a revival of American folk music. WBUR's Bob Oakes has this report.
Once you stood below a mountain, now you find yourself surprised. This is the sweet spot of your life.
Club 47 was started by two women from Brandeis University who were looking for a way to bring the smoky, intellectual, coffeehouse flavor of Paris home. Intending to make it a club for poetry and coffee, jazz just happened, and with just $2,000 between them, they rented an empty store a few blocks from Harvard Square in what was then its dingy outskirts at 47 Mount Auburn Street.
Club 47, for the decade that it was open, was the center of the folk scene, certainly here in New England. And we keep finding kind of little pieces of it, little nuggets, as we look back on it.
It was 1958, and a perfect moment for it, say Rob Stegman, who co-directed the Club 47 documentary, and folk music critic Scott Alaric. The beatnik era was coming to an end, the rock and roll era had just started, and the youth rebellion of the 60s was about to bud.
The youth culture of the time was ready for this. The rock and roll scene was not giving them what they wanted emotionally and culturally. To me, it was a magical, one of those magical moments of time and place.
Scott.
Club 47 was that youth rebellion beginning. It was young people dissatisfied with commercial culture, with the pop music industry, looking for something deeper, for more authentic, more real.
And in that unique time and place, in that search for authenticity, real stars were born. Stars like a 17-year-old dropout from Boston University, Joan Baez. We should say here that this is an unreleased recording before the film. This is the first time anyone has ever heard this. Joan Baez was essentially, in a way, discovered in Club 47 and in turn helped Club 47 be discovered itself by the folks in and around Cambridge. Tell us that story.
The people who founded the club were somewhat elite in their what they thought the club should be. They were bullied into giving Joan this audition, and they were just blown away. And that turned the 47 from this, left bank French style coffee house to a classic folk scene.
Let's take the story here, if we can, to around 1962, when this unknown, scrawny guy with this gravelly voice comes a-knockin', and it's Bob Dylan.
One time ago, the craziest dream came to me. I dreamt I was walking in World War III. I went to the doctor the very next day to see what he had to say. He said it was a bad dream.
It's just remarkable. He was such an unknown at that point. All they'd let him do, at least at the beginning, was play the harmonica. What was it that drew Bob Dylan to the 47?
By 1960, 1961, Club 47 was already known as a place where folk musicians gathered, both to share their craft, hone their craft, and to get some recognition. Bob Dylan regularly hitchhiked up from Greenwich Village, up from New York, to play at the club. In the early days, he would hang around. You know, sometimes he would get in, sometimes he wouldn't. He was, became friends with Eric Von Schmidt, who was a real leader in the scene. And so the recording that we have is Eric Von Schmidt inviting Bob Dylan up on stage to play.
There's a fella from down south, New York there.
I'm not from New York.
He's not from New York, says. I don't know where he's from. Someplace out there in the Midwest.
Boston.
From out in the Midwest of Boston. West Roxbury.
Let's play the guitar, man. No,
please. I'll play the guitar.
The way that every musician who played there has described it to me is that it was because it was this collegial atmosphere of just playing for the love of the music. They wanted to get together, share the songs, share the music.
And there was a different kind of music there every night, Bob. You didn't just become a blues fan at Club 47. You went down and you just washed yourself in all of it. And it all came out as this very new way of playing old folk music.
In the film, you point out that Cambridge became a great mecca for folkies. And while it provided many great moments for artists and fans, that might have also been, in a way, the club's undoing. It just got too popular.
Absolutely. By 1968, the entire idea of what folk music was evolving, changing. There were pressures, commercial pressures, musical pressures. Dylan had gone electric. People were writing their own songs. And so really what was happening is that the folk scene got too large for this little 80-seat club.
As the 60s grew, it seemed like what had started Club 47, the real magic of Club 47, was no longer welcome in this new industry-driven folk music revival.
Scott Ellerick, thanks for coming in. Very good to see you again.
My pleasure, Bob. Great to see you.
Rob Stegman, good to meet you, too. Great film. A lot of terrific nuggets in there. Hope it does well. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Bob.
This is the sweet spot of your life.
That's WBUR's Bob Oakes, speaking with Rob Stegman, one of the directors of For the Love of Music, the Club 47 Folk Revival. The film is being screened at the Boston International Film Festival tonight. Bob also spoke with folk music critic Scott Ellerick. To see a clip of the film, go to our website, WBUR.org.
This is the sweet spot of your life, for you know how they are most precious. To an OG, you must carve them. This is the sweet spot of your life.